Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist, you'll want to invite everyone over. From book club to reality TV watch parties, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is infused with 2 times more essential oil versus regular Airwick Essential Mist for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is perfectly portable and effortlessly easy. The way fragrance should be. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.
You are listening to the Reality Steve podcast with your host, Reality Steve. He's got all the latest info and behind-the-scenes juice on Claire's upcoming season of The Bachelorette and interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. Now, here's Reality Steve.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to podcast number 198. I am your host, Reality Steve. Thank you all for tuning in. Got a fun show for you this week. Former podcast guest. It's been a while since she's been on. Comedian Sarah Colonna is on the podcast today talking quite a few things that we'll get to momentarily. I know that we're getting close. Filming has ended for The Bachelorette, and everyone is expecting answers. They want answers 5 minutes ago, 5 days ago, and all I can tell you is you'll be getting your answers soon. Just want to make sure I got everything, double-check things, and make sure I've got, like I said, this is going to be a little bit different this year. With 42 men that were released in July, I need to account for all of them, because if I don't, after I release the spoilers, it will be like, well, what about this guy? What about this guy? So there are guys that never even made it on the show. There are guys that made it on the show and met Claire. There are guys that made it on the show and met Claire and were still there when Tayshia took over. There were guys that were brought on just for Tayshia. There were guys that were eliminated by Claire who never met Tayshia. There were guys that were eliminated by Tayshia who had met Claire. It's a little more confusing this year with 2 bachelorettes and men who may or may not have made on the show and whatnot. But I, you know, I'm well aware of some of the things that are out there online. I keep getting sent to me and stuff like that. And, you know, I brought it up a couple weeks ago in the Instagram live story about an Instagram account that said, you know, this person based on social media must still be there and whatnot. And, you know, it's... You can choose to believe what you want to believe. If you want to believe that an Instagram account that started during Claire's season and has 5,000 followers has all the answers, then by all means, then that's your answer. You don't even need me. But I can tell you what was the information that I have and what I saw on that site. There are things that are wrong there. So don't worry. You'll have everything soon enough. And, you know, explained it as well as I can. You know, there's been stuff that has been released throughout the season. You know, this notion that Claire was a tyrant and refused to come out of her room and wouldn't go on dates. It's not the story that happened. You hear Sarah and I talk about it and a little bit more, but it's nothing that I didn't haven't already said to you in the past when I wrote that column a couple weeks ago, I think it was. Where I just explain, like, hey, here's the deal. It's what these people are reporting, these sites are reporting about how Claire was difficult to deal with, and she was the one that wanted out, and she quit, and she wouldn't come out of her room. Like, none of that was true. So, don't know where those people got it from, but I guess it made for a more salacious headline, and that's why they wrote it the way they did. But regardless, did not happen. You know, I'll have everything explained to you once I have the spoilers out. We've got 6 weeks until the first episode airs, so it's not going to take me 6 weeks to get you this. I will get you as much as I can as soon as I can. I just want to finalize a couple things. So there you go. Today with Sarah Colonna, comedian, we're going to talk Bachelorette for the first 25 minutes or so. And we're going to talk a little comedy because she is a stand-up comedian, one of the industries in the entertainment industry that has definitely been affected by COVID. And then we talk a little Love Island, believe it or not. And then we talk a little Big Brother. Sorry. And yeah, so that's where we're at today. So let's just get going already. All right. Podcast number 198 with Sarah Colonna. All right, let's bring her in. She was a podcast guest before. We haven't had her on in a while. She has authored two New York Times bestsellers, Life as I Blow It and Has Anyone Seen My Pants? You've seen her on shows such as Insatiable and Shameless. It is comedian Sarah Colonna. Sarah, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
You know, just getting through things, you know, getting through COVID. And it's been quite an unbelievable last 6 months. I'm sure your life has been turned upside down like everyone else's. And, you know, we'll get to that in a little bit. But I want to start off by talking Bachelorette stuff with you. I know you're a huge fan. And
I'm a confused fan.
Yeah,
is what
confused
I am.
Fan. I will explain as much as I can to you. But when we had you on last time, obviously Claire was not somebody that was on anyone's radar, really. And I don't know if I've ever heard your opinion of it. When it was announced that Claire was the Bachelorette, what was your first response? Were you excited about this? Do you remember her from her past seasons? Or are you someone like, oh, she's just that one that's been on four times? Or were you thinking?
I didn't remember her. I didn't know her as I'm a fan, you know, since the last like 5-6 years. So either I missed her completely or she was on one of those seasons where I was like, or maybe, I mean, I guess I've been watching it longer than that. But no, she wasn't really someone I remembered. I didn't remember her story. I looked her up and I was like, okay, she's, you know, she seems like she'll be a fun bachelorette. She, you know, I don't know. She seemed like she might, and she has definitely obviously, you know, tried and failed a few times. So that kind of adds to the story, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, I was like, I wasn't overwhelmed with excitement by any means. Especially even if I did know her well, I'd be like, yeah, but I, you know, you kind of want someone from the recent years, someone that you've just been like, just came off of rooting for, you know?
I think it was tough because coming off Peter's season, they got a lot of criticism because these girls were too young. You know,
right.
you had a final two of Madison and Hannah Ann that were both 23 years old. And while in a normal year that would have been like, hey, perfect transition into being Bachelorette, especially someone like Hannah Ann, who he chose and then dumped, kind of like how Ari did with Becca, it seemed like that would have been a good role for her. But again, at 23, I mean, look at your life. Were you ready to get married at 23?
Oh, hell no. I definitely... I mean, that season was, you know, a train wreck for many, but, you know, in many ways, but definitely the age of everyone. I was just like, these girls are so young. And so the drama is so, and you don't even know, you don't even know yourself yet, you know, at that age. So I definitely liked that Claire was actually, you know, someone of like an age that would should be getting married. And no, you know, I mean, I know some people get married at 23 and it lasts forever. And and that's great, but it's definitely a hard one to do. And I think that was kind of the cool part about Claire too, is that she's, you know, a little older, not old by any means, obviously, but older than 23, and seemed like she would be, you know, ready. And then I was like, oh, and this means some of the guys will be older, and so not everyone's going to be like a 23-year-old guy that also doesn't know what he wants.
Yeah.
And then now I'm really thrown for a loop.
Yeah. So it was like, okay, we're not going to give the 23-year-old girl a shot to be the Bachelorette. Just too young. Peter's women were not even well received overall. Just seemed like a lot of fighting and a lot of cattiness between them. And then Claire was certainly a surprise to bring in somebody that at the time of filming is 39 years old, which is 8 years older than the oldest Bachelorette they had before her, which was Rachel. Rachel's the oldest bachelorette they've ever had, and she was 31 when she filmed, and Claire's 39.
That's crazy. And tell me what, when, I mean, I know, I looked her up, obviously, when it was announced, but what was her last appearance on The Bachelorette?
So the first thing she did was Juan Pablo's season. That's where she came in second.
Oh, okay.
He dumped her. He dumped her at the end, and then she did seasons one and two of Paradise, and then she was on Winter Games, and she got engaged on Winter Games, but that lasted about a month or two. You remember her from Winter Games? She got engaged to the Canadian guy, Benoit.
Yeah. Okay. No, I did not realize that. And I did Juan Pablo. I definitely watched part of his season, but I was in and out on that one for a few reasons. I completely, I mean, I remember looking it up and seeing she had been on there, but I don't remember her from any of the episodes I watched on there. So
yeah,
but
she my bad. So the last thing she was on was Winter Games. And that was that Winter Games aired during Ari's.
I definitely watched Winter Games.
Okay.
So yeah, I did not remember that about her. God, I'm bad. Poor Claire.
Yeah, I mean,
yesterday or the other day when you texted me that I almost wrote you back and texted you my phone number. So that's where my brain's at right now. You know.
I know it's just been. I mean, I've said it to a lot of friends recently. It's like. The one thing, you know, for me during COVID hasn't really changed my day-to-day routine because I work from home. But the one thing that I don't know, and you ask me on any given moment, is what day it is, because they all just kind of run together for me. And the way I find out what day it is without looking at my phone, clearly I could just look at my phone on it, but I do it off TV shows. I just know what days TV shows are on. It's like, okay, what did I watch last night? Oh, that's on Tuesday nights? Okay, today's Wednesday. That's how I figure out what day it is. That's the only way
I would suggest also that you can make, do things like Taco Tuesday, and that helps you remember that it's Tuesday.
Yeah. Right now, I know that if I watch, you know, on Mondays, well, I play poker online with my buddies on Monday nights along with WWE Raw. So it's like, okay, I know Mondays. And then Tuesdays is Hard Knocks, which I'll watch every Tuesday night. Wednesdays and Thursdays is Big Brother. And then Friday is SmackDown. So I'm like, okay, I got every day of the week covered. I know what day it is based on those airing and no other way other than, you know, looking at my phone clearly. But
okay, I was going to say, hopefully you're doing Big Brother too, because I am. And then, I keep track of days of the week that way. Love Island I'm watching, but that's on every night, so
yeah,
that's not helpful at all.
We will discuss Love Island. I've got thoughts.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
We will get to that. So let me know. Give me your confusion or questions that you have in regards to what you've seen and what you've heard of Claire and what's going on.
Yeah, because you've broken it down as much as you can, but then I see them saying, like, so I know that Tayshia, you know, that Claire is leaving somewhere at the beginning because she either fell in love, right? Like, I think you even said she had met someone before they started filming, and then they kept talking when filming paused. And
well,
then
that was the assumption. I was able to confirm that there was no contact between Claire and the guy that she ends up with. I've talked about it. It's Dale. There was no contact. It was just this overwhelming connection, apparently, that happened. Now here's the thing. From what you can obviously tell, this is the first time in the history of the show that the lead was able to see her guys see who her guys were for 4 months before she actually goes to film because of COVID. Dale was in the first cast of guys that was released back in March. And then 2 days later, they had to shut down filming. COVID started. It was declared a national pandemic the day Claire's season was supposed to start filming on March 13th. So this is a girl that was able to go back home and look at 32 guys that were posted as these are the guys that are going to be on your season. No other bachelorette has done that. Now,
right. She had her phone.
Allowed to look at anything. Now, from what I've been told, there was no contact. It was more along the lines of, did she look at every single one of her guys? Absolutely. Did she probably watch all their Instagram stories? Absolutely. And then I heard it was just that guy, Dale, was just as interested in her and following all her stories and just kind of going along. And then when they finally met, it was, I don't know, love at first sight or something, even though they had kind of already looked at each other for 4 months and they kind of had an idea of who the other person was. And then it just sparks flew. They filmed for 2 weeks. And I think it was more, I mean, there were stories about it was Claire being difficult. And then I was just like, not what I heard. I heard it was production went to her and said, look, we can see that you're not giving any of the other guys much of a chance here. It's clear that you're into Dale. How about we do this? And they went to her and I guess obviously he had to agree to it too. And so, yeah, about 2 weeks into filming, which will be about 3 or 4 episodes, she gets on her own. We'll see her relationship develop. And then they brought in Tayshia, and she finished out the season as the Bachelorette.
So right. Well, because it was interesting because I remember, you know, I mean, I get most of the news about it from you. And I remember like at first they had thought, right, that she was like refusing to go on dates or something. But yeah, then it came out that she wasn't being difficult. It was just she wasn't into it. Right. That's what, like, that was the final. She wasn't refusing to do anything. Like,
yeah, there was nothing that I was told. I mean, maybe we'll see it play out differently, but I haven't been told anything that she said, I'm not stepping out in front of another camera until you end this right, and let me and Dale leave. Like, no, it wasn't anything.
Yeah.
Like that.
Which would be, it doesn't seem like, it seems like that would be a strange move for anyone anyway, you know? Like, yeah. So that's why I was so confused. But now what's confusing me now is they're like, Tayshia took over. It's going to be, but now they're like, now here's Claire's, like all the ads are about Claire. So I'm like, wait, don't you guys know that you guys told us that Tayshia's taken her place? So why are you acting like it's still, you know, it just seems like they promote it differently. I don't know.
Well, what it was ABC has not officially announced Tayshia. Everybody knows Tayshia took over filming because all the spoiler accounts and all the tabloids, you know, People, Us Weekly, ET, E! Online, they've all reported it, but ABC hasn't confirmed anything. So this is just something.
Oh, so ABC, they're just
going along with it and just getting people to, it was like attention for them. And now they've got everybody hook, line, and sinker saying, oh, I can't wait to see this start because we want to see what happens. But ABC, no, they haven't come out and officially said anything.
I see. They're just kind of like putting their head in the sand and being like, we're still promoting this as Claire's season. We're not even addressing that as Tayshia.
Yeah, because she's going to get 3 or 4 episodes. And we're going to see her first night with all the limo entrances and her first few dates and group dates and one-on-ones and all that. And then we'll just kind of see her relationship with Dale develop. And then as we get to probably episode 3 or 4, then maybe ABC will take the reins and be like, you know, the rumors that you've heard about all summer finally come to a head next week or something like that. You know, they'll promote the hell out of it. But yeah, could they have gone with it and said back when this happened 2 weeks into filming that and made an announcement that due to something that you'll have to watch play out, Tayshia is our new Bachelorette. They could have done it that way, but they just chose not to. And they just chose to let everyone else report it. And then when the season airs, they'll be like, okay, now you can watch how it took place. Kind of like a, you know, I was looking at this like a Kardashian episode, like, you know, the Keeping Up with the Kardashians, we hear everything that's going on in their lives as it happens in the tabloids. But then the show airs, what? They're on like a 2 or 3 month lag.
Right.
And it's just like, oh, remember the story where Kim had a, you know, Kanye had a meltdown. See, that'll be on this week's episode. So it's almost like,
right.
Seems like that's how they're treating it.
It is. Yeah. It's interesting. I mean, I guess that makes the most sense, but I just was like, what a weird strategy since we all know, you know, that there's no even mention of it in their promotions or anything. But I guess that is, you know, that, I mean, that's what they do all the time, right? They kind of like you bust spoiler stuff on them and then they just act like they didn't know that you talked about it, even though we all know that they know everything. So I guess it is par for the course. I was just like, well, I was watching that, you know, the new promo today. And yeah. I was just like, wait, where's Tayshia? Why don't they put her in here? Like, it's interesting, but oh well.
And this one is weird just because it wasn't just me, the spoiler guy that was doing it. All the major outlets have actually run with this one. Cause if it was just me that said, hey, everybody, Tayshia took over filming. She's going to finish out the season as the Bachelorette because Claire fell for Dale. That would have been a little bit different because I'm still not as much as people, you know, are aware of Reality Steve. If it gets reported on Us Weekly or People or ET or E! Online, more people are seeing it there. So, and they all ran with it. So that's where I thought maybe ABC would lean into it and be like, okay, yes, Tayshia is our new Bachelorette, but you will have to see how it plays out. But they haven't said a word. They're just going to, but they know. I mean, they know a lot of people know. They're clear.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Because the main tabloids have covered it versus me reporting something and the main tabloids not running with it or choosing to not run with it because they want to stay in the good graces of ABC, which happens all the time. So
right.
That's where this has become different. And I thought maybe they would lean into it and say it, but no, I think that Claire had three or four rose ceremonies. So they're going to show all those. And then we're going to see Tayshia finish it out. What do you think of Tayshia?
It's like two seasons in one. Well, I really liked her a lot. I like her a lot. So I was actually really I was like, okay, this is someone. I don't know. I like her personality. I think she's level-headed. I think she seems to know, you know, what she wants for the most, you know, I mean, as much as anybody that's on that show does.
Yeah.
So I was excited when I saw that. I was like, okay, like that's, you know, if this weird, you know, I was sad to see, like I said, Claire go because, I'm glad she found someone, I guess, but I was just like kind of excited, like I said, to watch like a 39-year-old woman, you know, on the show rather than everyone be 12. But, Tayshia's what, in her 30s?
She's either 29 or 30. I think she turns 30 tomorrow. I think it's like September.
Nice.
I remember looking. Actually, I can do it real quick.
I was thinking she was 31 for some reason, but yeah, maybe then 30 probably.
According to Wikipedia, assuming Wikipedia is correct, she is 29 years old right now, but she turns 30 on September 4th. So, yeah.
Oh, nice. Today, okay.
Well, when this airs, it'll be airing on September 4th or released on September 4th. So, yeah, she turns 30 today.
I mean, I'm glad they didn't, like, you know, turn around and run back to, like, a Hannah Ann or someone super, you know. I'm glad I thought Tayshia was a good choice. I'm like, I liked her, you know.
Being reported all season was the fact that all these cameos are going to be made. We're going to see a lot of alumni showing up during Tayshia's season. I think that's just a way of them, I don't know, covering themselves for Paradise not airing this summer because it couldn't because of COVID. So we're going to see a lot of cameo appearances by our favorite alumni over the years, the Ashley and Jareds, JoJo, and, you know, Wells, Hannah Ann is there. You know, they're all just doing stuff and showing up and going to make cameos. But yeah.
Right. And then there was that, was it JoJo that stepped in for when Chris Harrison had like his son's graduation or something?
Son starting at TCU. Yeah. I don't know how many episodes she did. I think it was only one though. I think it's only
right.
One. But yeah, she had to step in and, you know, there's just been so much reporting going on and fairly soon everyone's going to have their answers and breakdown from me for everything that's going on. Just finalizing things here and there, but
yeah,
everybody knows the Claire stuff, but it's really this season, like I said, has been a little bit different because you had 42 guys that were released in July before Claire's season started filming. And you've got some of those guys never even made it to the first night. Some of those guys met Claire and then were still there when Claire left and Tayshia took over. There's some guys that were part of that 42 that never even met Claire and were held on to until Tayshia showed up. So it's like almost when I do the spoilers, it's a little bit more detailed this year because I have to tell you of those 42 guys who never made it on, who was eliminated by Claire, who never met Claire, who was eliminated by Tayshia. So it's a little bit different. Yeah, it's a little
it's
bit
crazy.
Yeah, it's like as I was talking about in my live this past Sunday. It's like if you've watched Homeland with Claire Danes and she's got that board with all the everything connected. I mean, that's kind of what I've had to almost put together this year because it's just
well, I know because so I think and I think you were the first. I mean, you were the one that kind of made it clear that it wasn't like she didn't just get. I don't want to say stuck, but she didn't just, I think everyone, like my first worry was like, did she just get stuck with like whoever they chose for Claire? Because she's going to, you know, she's going to have different tastes or different.
Yeah.
So I was glad to see that. No, they, did actually bring some other people in. It seems like anyway, from right.
They brought them in, but they were part of the 42. There's not as far as I know. I don't think there's any guys this season that weren't part of. Hey, here's the guys that are going to be appearing on Claire's season. But some of them just never showed up the first night, and they kept them there for 2 weeks. I think the original plan was, from what I'm hearing, was the twist. If, you know, if Claire doesn't do this thing with Dale or whatever, the twist was going to be they were going to bring in guys a little bit later for Claire. She was going to get X amount of guys on the first night, but then they had some guys still waiting that they were going to bring in episodes like two or three. But by the time they were in episodes two or three, they realized they had an issue on their hands. And then they were like, oh, well, now that we know we're bringing Tayshia in, we'll just introduce these guys to Tayshia. So she'll have a few new guys. I think it was four or five. It wasn't a ton.
Right. But at least it won't seem like they're all were there.
Yeah, exactly.
And all were like bummed when Claire left or something, which would be weird.
Yeah. But yeah, she does get a majority of her guys. Yeah. Are Claire's leftovers or the guys that were still on the show when Claire left after Rose Ceremony number four. Yeah.
Those are crazy.
Yeah. It's just going to be,
I mean,
it's different. Just like everything else in 2020. It's just going to be a different season. People are going to have to understand that this is not going to be a normal season. It was all filmed in one location, you know, that too. So
yeah.
That's crazy.
And why couldn't they do Bachelor in Paradise the way, like, I mean, if they're throwing everyone on a rooftop in Vegas to do Love Island, why couldn't we just do that with Bachelor in Paradise?
I mean, I guess you could have, but I guess their biggest thing was their franchise is Bachelor and Bachelorette, and they wanted to do those first. And once you started filming Claire in July, and it just ended filming this week, you've got now Bachelor set to film, and now they're back on schedule. Bachelor will film in their normal end of September through right before Thanksgiving, and Matt James' season will start airing first Monday in January. So I think because they wanted to get back on schedule, because then if you air Paradise after Bachelorette, where is your Bachelor season going? And I think they really like this idea of, for the last, I think it's been 8 or 9 years now, that first Monday in January is, okay, new year, new Bachelor. And I think they really wanted to get this done. And as long as there's no COVID issues and there's no breakouts or outbreaks, when Matt James' season starts filming at the end of September, beginning of October, we're back on track. And then I'm assuming the next Bachelorette will film in March, like Claire's would have been through May, and then Paradise will film in June. But I guess the virus will dictate what we're doing with that, because can you, as of right now, you wouldn't be able to film a bunch of people down in Mexico. So will we be able to by June? I don't know. And if not, do you do it like Love Island and just say, well, you know what, we'll do it in Vegas in one spot? I don't know. Maybe they could.
Yeah.
Or somewhere else in the U.S. where it's just some beach resort in the U.S. and you don't have to go to Mexico. But I don't know. I guess it's almost too early to say, but we do know that Matt James' season is going to go off, start filming, and you would assume Claire and Tayshia's season went off without a hitch. Nobody got COVID, as far as I know, during filming. So assuming there's no outbreak during Matt's season, we'll be good to go.
Yeah, I mean, once you get everyone, you know, actually quarantined, then because that's the other thing. I think people are even sometimes when I'm watching anything right now that either was taped before or is being taped now, even if I know that they've been quarantining or whatever, but when I see the makeouts and stuff, I'm still like, oh my God,
yeah.
I can't believe people are just shoving their tongues down each other's throats when I have to wear a mask everywhere I go. Like, it seems like a bad idea, but you know, once they're quarantined like that, there shouldn't be any outbreaks. They're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
But then there is the cat. Yeah. There's the crew and stuff, I guess, is where it could, they're going home and whatnot.
Yeah. I think it's at this point, I mean, look, there's people in states who have been locked up for 6 months and, you know, they can't get out and they're like, there's plenty of people that have said, why is the Bachelorette filming, especially in a state like California, which has had, you know, one of the top three states in terms of positive cases and deaths and all this stuff? Why are they even doing this? And it's just like, look, you got to understand, it's just they took every precaution necessary. This show isn't going to film and just do something willy-nilly because they needed to get a Bachelorette season aired. Like, the health and the safety of their contestants and the cast was first and foremost on this season.
Oh yeah, I mean they have a huge, you know, and it would be such backlash if something like that happened. So
for sure.
Yeah, like they're obviously gonna. So I do feel like at least everyone's being careful. So it'll be nice that the Bachelor's back on like regular programming, because this is gonna be weird too. Like didn't you flesh it out that it's gonna be going into like December?
Yeah, I mean, if you have a regular, yes. we now know that the season starts October 13th on.
Yeah.
It's going to air on Tuesday nights. Well, if you have a regular season of 11 episodes every Tuesday, that puts you in December before this thing ends. I don't know. And then you got to assume that they're not even going to have a Tuesday episode on November 3rd on Election Day. There's no way.
Right.
There's no way they're going to show an episode that night. So you're going to have to double up some other week. It's just. Yeah, I don't understand why I started in October. You could have easily started this mid-September in 2 weeks because filming is now ended. But I don't know. I don't really understand there. The only thing I thought of was maybe because if you started in October and you ended in mid-December, it gives you on the back end, hey, now there's only 2 weeks left before the start of Matt James season, which is going to be first Monday in January like it always is. So
right.
Maybe that's their plan is like, look, okay, we might be ending in December with Claire's season or Tayshia's season, whatever you want to call it, but we'll maybe call it Claytia or
Tayshia. I was going to say Claytia.
Yeah.
Claytia season.
But now we're only 2 weeks away. Like at the end of Claire's season, at end of the season, at the after the final rose of this Bachelorette season, you could say, hey, everybody, stick around in 2 weeks. We're back. Matt James, because Matt will start filming in October, first week of October, and end right before Thanksgiving. So, yeah, that was the only reason I can think of is like, okay, well, maybe they just on the back end say we come back in 2 weeks.
Yeah, maybe they're like, you've been without us for a while, so we're going to basically
yeah.
make sure we start at one point and like give you almost nonstop programming for like until like next spring.
Yeah, you've got you had nothing from us from March until October, and now you're going to have basically a Bachelorette and a Bachelor season air from October 13th until mid-March. You're going to have six straight months of them basically. So yeah, with basically maybe a 2 week break. So that's probably why they did it. And
I mean, that's fine with me. It means I don't have to, you know, figure out what to do during the days that it airs.
Are you struggling to lower your bad LDL cholesterol, even though you may be taking a statin, swapping steaks for salads, and exercising while listening to this podcast? Ask your doctor if Repatha Evolocumab is right for you. With Repatha, you can dramatically reduce bad cholesterol and the risk of another heart attack while enjoying life too, because you're human. And with convenient self-administration, you can take Repatha in the comfort of your own home. Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Repatha can cause serious allergic reactions. Signs include trouble breathing or swallowing, or swelling of the face. Most common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site. Visit Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA. Talk to your doctor today about Repatha.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 5. South Dakota seemed like the perfect place to unplug. But I ended up connecting to the world around me, a world where each sunset was painted, where I felt adventures pulse with every step, and where cold water trickling, pine swaying, and grunting bison became my favorite soundtracks. I just wish I didn't have to leave. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.
When it comes to teaching kids and teens about money, practice makes perfect. That's where Greenlight comes in. With a debit card and money app of their own, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. Parents send instant money transfers, create custom chores, and automate allowance, while kids track their spending, set savings goals, and practice money skills they can use today and for life. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Clearly, as you know, being a comedian, this has been a huge, COVID has really affected the stand-up comedy business. I'm a huge fan of stand-up comedy, and I mean, I've started to see things online from some of the people that I follow. I know, and just kind of seeing what people have done. I know Mark Normand has done some stuff in New York, in the park. I've seen a former podcast guest, Nikki Glaser, did something recently on the East Coast somewhere where it was an outside venue. I've seen a comedian perform and everyone else is in their cars, and instead of clapping, you just flash your lights and honk. Like,
just drive-in comedy. Yeah.
Crazy times. And I went, before I spoke to you, I went on your website to see you've got a comedy club appearance coming up, unless this is old, at Skyline in Appleton, Wisconsin, October 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. Is that still happening?
Okay, well, that is. I mean, I have had so many shows canceled. I had a bunch on the schedule, and even in March. So from like March to August, got canceled, and so I had this one already booked before then. And I keep wondering if they're going to, tell me it's not happening, or if I'm going to tell myself it's not happening. But they haven't, they are open. And I know with restrictions of how many people and social distancing and the tables are spread out. And I do know the owner of that club really well. So I do trust him. So I think I'm going to keep it, as long as, it's deemed safe to do so. And then I just actually got a Portland date at the end of October that is also doing, they're at like, I think 50% capacity. And the thing is, I mean, across the board for everyone, it's a little bit, it's like, first of all, when, not to talk about the money aspect, but when clubs are only able to have a certain amount of people there, they also can't pay you what they normally pay you. So you're kind of weighing the travel and the risk and the, and all the things of what feels worth it,
Sure.
For me, something like Portland, I'm like, okay, well, it's West Coast. It's right there. I live in LA, so I can get there pretty easily. It sounds like things are going great there, right now. So it's, in Wisconsin, obviously, is a lot of travel, but like I said, I know the owners, so I know that the club is what they're doing, and I know, and I'm just really, I need, I want to perform, I miss it, and
sure,
I haven't done, I've only done like, I did one, show on Zoom that at the very, it was kind of at the beginning of this, and it was actually to help, the guy who does own Skyline Comedy Club. He also owns one in Tacoma, Washington, and Spokane, Washington, and Oklahoma City. And I had shows in all those places and they all got canceled. And so I did like a Zoom show with another comedian to help them. They like sold online tickets and it actually gave them money to pay their employees for a little bit. So, for that one, I was like, okay, this is worth it. And it was actually, it was more fun than I thought it would be. But at the same time, I haven't done one since because it's just not, people ask you all the time, oh, why don't you just do an online show? And I'm like, well, why don't you stand in your living room and tell jokes to nobody? Yeah. Like, it's awful. Yeah. Like, it's not, all of comedy, live stand-up comedy is just that, being live and having fans there. So it's very strange to do it in any other capacity. But, when I first thought about doing this Portland show, and also when, Skyline, it seemed so far away that I was like, well, that's not until October. But now here we are in September and things are still as they are. So, I know every club is making sure when they do book anything that it's all understood that it could be canceled and you will be refunded and all that stuff. So for, any fans that go to it. So I feel like everything's a little bit like, just keep checking the website if you're going to go to a show. But for now, it seems like I said, that one in Wisconsin's been open and they've been operating and doing well with their distancing. So yeah. I think that one for sure will stay. And I mean, this is the longest I've been home in since, I don't know, for 10 years. This is the longest I've been without going on a plane, definitely.
Yeah.
In 10 years. So that's been, it's been good and bad. You know, it's interesting, but I mean, obviously, work-wise, just like everyone else, it's really difficult to lose a lot of work. But at the same time, I'm like, okay, well, I looking at the bright side, my husband and I have never spent this much time together. So
has that been good or bad?
It's actually been, it's been really good. It has. You know, I didn't get married until I was 40, and he, for the fans that, because we were talking about him before we were recording, but he's a football player and he played in the NFL for 13 years. So he's very used to being on the road and being spending his time alone. So I think since we're both so used to our personal space and being apart, we are very able to kind of dance around each other at home and notice when the other one might need a little more space. And luckily we do have a lot of space here. So
yeah.
We have a room above the garage that we weren't really making use of, but we turned it into the pandemic room is what we're calling it. And we have like exercise equipment up there and a big television, and we even put a little bar up there. So one of us disappears up there when it seems like the other one needs a little bit of space. So that's been helpful.
Well, here's a question I have for you as a comedian. I got to imagine over these 6 months, you've gotten to have some new material written during COVID, just maybe observations during COVID, stuff you've seen.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure you've got some new material that you definitely want to try out. And that's the thing that you mentioned about, you know, crowds, and you guys live for crowds, because that determines essentially what you think hits and what you think, you know, something that might kill and something that might bomb. But you don't know that if you don't have an audience to try it in front of. You could do it in front of your husband all you want, but he's biased. So,
right.
So I'm sure you've gotten some new material from COVID, right?
No, 100%. And like, I know since you're a comedy fan, like you actually just hit the nail on the head. Like a lot of times people will be like, oh, you must have a lot of material, but I'm like, yeah, but I haven't had a chance to do it,
yeah.
You know? And so you just nailed that completely. It's like, I have stuff that, I have stuff written down. I have ideas. I have thoughts. And it's like, what's this going to be like when it comes out of my mouth for the first time? You know, it's so strange, because that is, because usually when I perform so much that usually I'm thinking about something and then I get to try it like that weekend or the next weekend or something.
Yeah.
And I can quickly, you know, say, great, this is going to work, or forget that. Or I can say like, great, this is going to work, and I can build on it and then build on it the next weekend and the next. And that's how you get your, you know, your material. But to not be able to perform for this long is kind of like, okay, so what's this going to be like the first, you know, time I hit the stage? I know what I'm doing, but it doesn't mean that it's not going to be super strange, just strange, you know, and weird to try to. But I think everyone is understanding that too at the same time. And it might be kind of fun for people to see you sort of like, hey, this is something I have been working on in my head for 6 months, and this is the first time I get to say it out loud.
Yeah.
So here we go. So, you know, you definitely have to sandwich that in after doing some tried and true stuff so that people are definitely seeing a show that you know what you're doing, you know. But it's definitely strange.
Have you ever done a part from a set that you thought was going to kill and didn't? And on the flip side, ever had a part from a set that you thought was good, wasn't great, but you wanted to try it out and it did kill and had a super response? I'd be interested to know, just as a comedian, I got to imagine over the years, it's got to have been something that you had.
Oh, definitely. Both. Okay. Both. I've definitely had things that I'm like, or that has gone, you know, one thing that I really learned after touring, after like, especially when I really started headlining and touring heavily, which was like when I was on Chelsea Lately, yeah. The comedians toured a lot, you know, and what I got from that was definitely, okay, that worked last night in X state. And then I did it tonight and it was a much different reaction. And you do kind of tailor stuff to where you are. And it's not even really necessarily because of, you know, I don't talk about anything political, nothing like that. But I think sometimes it's like the club in this area attracts a certain age of people as opposed to this area, or more people are single in this area and married in this area, and things like that. So it's just a little bit more of a different tone that they're kind of looking for. And it's not really, that's definitely not for overall, because overall, you know, once you've been doing this for long enough, you kind of, you know what your audience is. But sometimes just like one small snippet of a like quote unquote bit or a joke that I think is going to land like it did somewhere else, you're just like, oh, that didn't work as well. Okay. But you know, that's also why you have to have a whole lot in your pocket to move on and to think on your feet and try out new stuff. And then definitely there's been, like, even recently, actually, there was something that I thought was so funny in my head. And I was like, I don't think this is going to work on stage at all. I just think this is my reaction to this topic. And I did it and it went so well. And then I've been working on it. And now it's like a good, like, probably, you know, 7-minute story that also I end up bringing up it again at the end. And it's like a huge, great bit that right before all this happened, I was like, basically had a brand new hour to get ready to tape a new special. And so now it's going to be a while before that happens, obviously. Yeah. But I was like, oh, this thing that I thought was like, I'm not sure this is really going to work on audiences as you know, much as it does in my head. And then it has become like this super fun, relatable bit. So it's so weird how that works.
Yeah. And you know what? You mentioned something about the crowds and some places it'll be skew younger, some places it'll skew more married. And, you know, the amount of times I've been to a comedy club and seen in person is plenty, over 50 in my life. So I've seen plenty, and I always, you know, when I'm at my table, especially if I'm in the back, you see the next comedian standing in the back watching the comedian that's up on stage, their opener or whatever. And so now when you said that, it got me to thinking, when you are waiting to be on stage and the person in front of you is performing, are you looking at the crowd for ages and getting a glimpse of it? Because you're like, and maybe you had a whole set going in about, I don't know, maybe older skewing material for an older crowd. And then you get to the club that night and you're watching the person before you and you're looking at the crowd like, oh my gosh, it's a bunch of, I don't know, college kids, or it seems like it's a younger crowd, and change it up on the fly? Or do you just go with it no matter what?
No, I do. I definitely change it up. Okay. And I would say the more than maybe looking at the audience for like their
demographic is
age or demographic. Maybe yeah. I think it's more about like I definitely watch who's going on before me at my feature.
Yeah.
And I know, and sometimes people don't. And then what happens is you walk on stage and you either, you know, say something to a person in the audience that has already been, it's already been addressed by the person that went up before you, or you touch on a subject that was so obviously touched on before you and you don't know it. So like, that's to me, one of the reasons I always, always, always watch the person, always watch the full show. I think I look, it's more like I'm looking at their reaction to that person's material, maybe, is, you know, because I mean, it's a mixture of both for sure. It's definitely like demographic, but also, definitely more like their reaction, because sometimes you can walk in and see a crowd that you're like, oh, this crowd's a little bit younger than I thought it was going to be. And then they'll completely be on board with everything you're saying. So you can definitely judge them by the cover, I guess, is, you know, act in the wrong way. And so that can, so I kind of like try to pay attention more to their sense of humor, like what they're picking up on in the person on stage before me. So you can get a kind of a good idea, like, are they laughing at anything, just because they said something dirty, are they laughing, or are they not laughing at that? Or, you know, are they looking for more that, less that, like that kind of stuff you can definitely pick up on.
You know, I've asked this in the past to comedians I've had on. I asked this to Heather McDonald and, some other ones that I've had. I think I even asked it to Nikki as well, but I want to ask it to you, is that, you know, comedy is subjective. Clearly, somebody can hear, two people can be sitting at a table and somebody can hear the joke and think it's the funniest fucking thing. And some people will be like, that wasn't funny at all. Like, it's so subjective. But as a comedian, when you watch other comedians, obviously you probably have some favorite comedians, even going right now, man or woman, that, oh, I love their stuff. And some you might be like, eh, I don't get it. I don't get why this person is funny. Are there a lot of people out there that you have seen their, I don't know, their hourly stand-ups, their Netflix specials, whatever the case may be, and maybe are bigger names that you're like, yeah, I just don't get it. You don't have to name names, but like, I just don't get it.
Or, yeah, you can't do that to me.
I'm not gonna do that. But are there? Is it a lot, or is it just there's a couple out there that I'm just like, yeah, I've never gotten it. I don't. They obviously have a following, but not for me.
100%. Okay. 100%. Yeah, and it's happened. I mean, it's definitely not a lot because I'm like you said, it is subjective. But when somebody becomes like hugely popular, it's. We usually feel like it's pretty easy to see why, you know, why, whether or not I think it's funny doesn't really matter, but you're like, oh, I can see why that caught on. It's not necessarily my style of humor, but I get it, you know? But there's probably like a couple that I, still, I'm like, really? Really, guys? You know? And, which by the way, I'm sure that, you know, other people feel the same about me. So that's why I know. It is subjective, but there's been a couple that I'm, you know, comedians over the years, not necessarily right now, just like over several years where I'm just like, I've never understood this big deal about this person. Hmm. And I have to always check on that because I'm like, does that just mean I'm jealous? You know what I mean? Is that just,
yeah.
Am I just jealous of this person? But I definitely don't think that's it because you know, for me, there's so much room for all of it, of all of us. So I'm just kind of like, nah, I usually, especially if I see someone who I do think is funny, because for the most part, you know, anytime I'm seeing someone successful that I think is funny, I'm just like stoked. Cause I'm like, okay, good. Another comedian, you know, rose up and, that's good for all of us. So there's definitely always been a couple though where you're just like, I don't get it. And I think everyone probably feels that way, not even just comedians. I think there's probably, you know, you probably see some, you know, someone that you're like, yeah, I don't really get it. Okay. But I guess they're huge. So.
Yeah. I mean, and even for you, when you talk about it, do you compare yourself when you just compare yourself to comedians in general? Do you do a gender thing? Do you compare yourself to the female comedians out there, or is it just overall? Like,
no, it's overall. Okay. I mean, I would say too, one thing that I think my reaction when I see something like my quote unquote just don't get it is sometimes when I see something that just seems so that can dishearten me to the point where I'm like, well, why do I work so hard if that's what everyone's laughing at, you know? And, yeah. and then I realize like, oh, but that's what I have to remind myself. Like, no, comedy is subjective, Sarah, just because you don't think that's a funny approach or a funny topic or a funny, you know, demeanor to have on stage. Does it mean that, you know, the thousands and thousands of people going to see them are probably are wrong. You know what I mean? Like, obviously there's something there. So it's just because it's just a sense of humor is so, you know, specific to people.
Yeah. And when I had Nikki Glaser on a couple months ago, I mean, there's a girl that is polarizing in her comedy because her last stand-up special, Bangin', was 1 hour straight of sex talk. And I'm talking, and it was, and look, I thought it was funny, but
it's so funny. I think she's so funny.
Yeah. And I know people out there would just be like, this isn't fun. All she talks about is her vagina, giving blowjobs, anal. Like, that's all she talks about. Like, how is this funny to people? I know people think that. I found it hilarious. I mean, she's really good. And I've kind of followed Nikki throughout the years. I've seen her specials from 8 years ago on Comedy Central, and I've seen to where she's gone to now. And I've always been a fan of hers and been a fan of just enjoyed seeing her success from a distance. But yeah, I can see where that would be like, God, no, this is not funny to people. And
yeah, it's like, because like, I mean, with her, I think she's so funny and that special was hilarious. And, it's definitely not like, that's not my style of comedy that I do because it's just not like that. You have to be able to pull that off, you know, and she pulls it off. And so to me, it's not always about the materials in that way that you can just be like, oh my God, this person can pull off anything. Like, you know, or there's people that can pull off kind of a topic that seems so everyday, you know. I mean, obviously like a Seinfeld is a great example of something like that, but there's plenty that of comedians that can pull off like these everyday topics that you're like, wait, I can't believe that got turned into a joke. It seems so simple, you know? And then they turn it into this great bit. So it is so, you know, it's like, luckily I'm glad that I can appreciate other styles of comedy, without, like you said, like without being jealous. Cause I'm like, well, that's just not, I'm not going to ever be like that on stage. That's not my, you know, style, but holy shit, that person does it well. And holy shit, it's funny.
Yeah. And and it's not like I'm somebody that has to have a dirty comic, because two of my favorite comics of all time are Brian Regan and Jimmy Gaffigan. And those guys don't even curse. I mean,
no,
you know, Brian Regan is somebody that, from 19, I had videotapes of his stand up on Showtime in 1991 that I've watched. I could recite his whole set. And he's a guy that has been around for years. And it's weird because now in this day and age where everybody, it's almost like you start in stand up and then that leads to whether, you know, a film career or television career, for a guy like Brian Regan, who's been doing it for so long, it is pretty amazing that
it's
guy,
amazing.
He's never
it's
got, amazing. But he's never gotten a pilot that has, I'm sure he's shot a bunch of pilots to, you know, have his own show, but he's never taken that next step. And yet he's one. You ask anybody, I mean,
oh, he's so many people's favorite.
He's so many people's favorite.
I met him.
Comedians in Cars with Coffee. Jerry Seinfeld's had him on, I think, twice in Comedians in Cars with Coffee. It's amazing. I'm just surprised that he has never gotten that jump from stand-up guy to getting his own, you know, sitcom, when other people who I think are less talented have. But, you know, to each their own, I guess. There's really nothing you can do about it.
It's funny. I met him in, this is a great example of what you're talking about, actually, of just like different styles of comedians. Like I met him in, North Carolina. I think it was Charlotte. Yeah, it was Charlotte at this club. He was there doing a big theater, and I was there performing at a club, and he came to the club that night and just watched my set. He doesn't know me from anything. And, I went into the green room afterwards and I saw him and I was like, oh my God. So I had this like closing bit that is dirty. Like not, you know, like I said, like my whole act isn't dirty, but I definitely have some, you know, jokes in there that aren't clean. And so I was like, it was this whole joke about sex in the shower that's like graphic and like the whole thing. And when I walked in the green room and saw him, like a part of my heart sank, like, oh my God, I just probably disappointed Brian Regan. Like that's all I could think about was like, yeah. You know, and he was like, oh my God, Sarah, that set was great. Like he was so kind to me and I could tell he meant it. Or otherwise he probably would have just left, you know? And we like went out and got beers afterwards and he was just the coolest guy. And it was like, oh my God, it was just so nice to just meet someone that I've respected for so long face to face and then like hang out with him afterwards and have him treat me as like a peer, you know, which I, especially at the time, did not feel like I was up to, you know? And I just was like, it was cool. It was cool. I was like, we couldn't be more different, but you know, there's no judgment. There's just appreciating the other person's style. So that's a cool thing.
Yeah. That's really cool that a guy like that, you know, wouldn't, you know, you wonder if a guy like Brian Regan would like a comedian like Nikki Glaser, or would Brian Regan think banging is hilarious? I don't know. I mean,
yeah,
I think he'd probably respect Nikki as a writer. Because Nikki's a great writer well.
Definitely.
So, but maybe, you know, she's very clever. It's not just like, oh, hey, here's my vagina and hey, let me talk about this and blowjobs and that. It's the way she tells the story.
No, actually her next special is called Here's My Vagina.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I mean, she's good at storytelling in her,
totally,
in her set.
Yeah.
That's what makes it so good. It's not just cheap sex jokes, you know?
No, exactly. And I think, I just think for the most part, every comedian's like, okay, we respect each other's, you know, writing process and whatever their style is on stage. And you know, so I think for the most part, the only time you're like, I don't get it about someone is more just it's really not about their style or their, it's just like, oh, I don't get it. You know, like, I just don't get it about that person.
Since you can't name it, I'm trying to think of somebody right now that's fairly big, but I just don't get it. God, I should
think if there's anyone right now that I can feel that I feel that way about. I, like I said, there's been a few over the years, but I'm trying to think if there's anyone right now, and I can't really.
I'm trying. I already know. I can list off a bunch of the recent ones that I do like. I really like Mark Norman and Joe List. I like their stuff. I think they're hilarious.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
Sam Morrill. I think he's really good.
Yeah, he is.
And then I saw that he's dating Taylor Tomlinson, and I'm like, wow, that's interesting. The comedians are dating each other.
Oh, that's right. I only just found that out recently, too, and I was like, what? I'm like, oh, God, comedians dating each other. How does that work?
Jeselnik, I love. I think his stuff is – I think his writing is really clever.
Yeah.
But I can see where people don't – he's a guy that's very polarizing in that. I can see where people are just like, I don't get it. I don't get how this – I mean, he's – it's funny, but his because it's so slow and you're used to a comedian up there just rattling off stories and joke after joke after joke, and he just is so methodical in his jokes. But for me, I find it funny. I know there's somebody out there right now that I'm just blanking on that I'm just like, I don't get it. And I know people think that this person is funny, and it's escaping me right now.
Well, you can text it to me. Yeah,
when I think of it, I will. I want to wrap up with what we talked about earlier. Love Island. So, did you watch last season? Did you watch it last summer?
Yes.
Okay. So, you know, same thing. It was on, you know, seemingly every day. And here's my I really want to like it, and I think last night it actually started getting pretty good, but. My problem with it is this, and because you watch Big Brother, and you and I both watch Big Brother, I just feel like there's not enough that goes on Love Island, and it has nothing to do with the location. I just think it's 1 hour of, hey, let's go over here and talk. I think there has to be some sort of competition. You got to include some sort of competition like every single episode. Now, even that one that they did with the plane and the baggage, that was basically just a way for everyone to reveal something about their sex life in their past. And yeah. Then they had the Vegas thing where they had the roulette wheel where it's like, hey, kiss somebody that's not your partner. Okay. I just think something like that needs to happen every episode. It's just nothing but talking, and it just, you know, or somebody new has to come in every episode. It just feels like nothing gets accomplished on that show.
No, I agree. And I was trying to remember last night. I'm like, was it that uneventful the first season as well?
I think it was.
Yeah. Cause I was like, God, was it just because of COVID and just because they're stuck on this roof? But I'm like, no, I feel like it was just as slow, but I hung in there anyway, as I do for reality TV. Yeah, this season is just, and like you said, probably is the same as last, but there just needs to be something. I don't know. They don't go out on like, you know, they can't even just go on like a date or up in a helicopter or whatever the hell right now for sure. So they can't even just leave this hotel where they all just look so uncomfortable when it's so hot up there. And the very first episode, everyone was just pouring sweat. And I was like, they got to get some fans on these people. Like this, yeah. Everyone just looks uncomfortable on this rooftop. But yeah, there's just, I did like, I actually liked the guy that they sent home a lot. Not the, the guy from Missouri. Was he from Missouri? He's from the South. Really tall black guy, really handsome.
Oh, Jeremiah.
Jeremiah. I was going to call him Jeremiah. That's right. Jeremiah. I really liked him, and I was actually bummed he went home, because I was like, I felt like he could have been interesting. The other guy that went home, I think needed to, because he seems like he was like a little bit of a loose cannon.
The guy that went off on Moira and just kept saying, what did I do? I didn't do anything wrong. Yeah. What are you talking about? And she's like, yes, you did.
Yeah.
No, I didn't. And she's like, okay.
James, right? James?
James.
Yeah. So I was kind of like, eh. But so I was kind of like, oh, but the fact that I was actually disappointed that someone left was like, oh, maybe I am getting into this show.
Yeah.
But that's the most interest I've really had. They just seem It just seems like something else needs to go on, you know.
Because it's just conversations up on that rooftop somewhere, you know. And even when they had a date, when they brought the two guys, the two newest guys in, the ones that sent Jeremiah and James home, Calvin and Caleb. First off, you got these names, James and Jeremiah and Calvin and Caleb.
That's why I feel like I keep messing up anyone's name because I'm like, they all, and then there's like Carrington.
Carrington,
they all start with a C or a J.
Yeah, and when they did bring those two guys in, Caleb and Calvin, it's like their date was just in the casino, you know, right around the corner from the rest of the, of the cast. It wasn't like any sort of date. I think the reason why I said the good thing that they added, I guess, did you see last night's episode? Did you watch it yet? I don't want to spoil it for you if you haven't.
No, I guess. No. Well, I saw that there was a girl coming in.
Okay. That was, and then Tuesday.
But we didn't see the episode after that then. Okay. So I guess what I watched last night must have been Monday's episode.
Yeah.
Which means I got a double header tonight. This is exciting.
Yeah.
Big
no,
Brother.
This is
a big night.
No,
big
it's
night.
Not. It's not on tonight. So you don't have to worry.
Wait, Big Brother's not on tonight, isn't it?
No.
Wednesday?
No, you said double header. I thought you meant double header of Big Brother and Love Island. Love Island's not on.
Oh, tonight. Oh, it's not. Okay, no. Sorry. I thought it was on every night.
Yeah, that's. They said 5 days a week, but both Wednesdays it hasn't been on, and both Saturdays it hasn't been on. It's been on Sunday through. It's been on every day of the week except Wednesdays and Saturdays. I don't really understand why they're taking.
Oh,
days
so
off.
It's okay.
But
well.
Yeah,
maybe
the new girl that comes
Big
in,
Brother.
This new girl that comes in from, she's got the accent from the UK. She has everybody in flux. It's good. It finally, it seems like there's a little bit of drama happening now because, you know, it's a weird show because, look, to stay on the show, you have to couple up. We know this, but then the whole point is. Well, when you bring in singles, those singles have to go out with somebody, and they have to go out with somebody who's seemingly coupled up with somebody else, so somebody's going to be upset. And
yeah.
So if you're coupled up with somebody, do you, you know, someone like, you know, Carrington and Kirsten, they seem like a really cute couple, and then you've got Mackenzie and Connor. They're like a little cute couple, but then you're like, if you're there for the experience, do you want to hook up with somebody immediately and then just be like, look, I don't want to go out with anybody else. I'm closing my mind off to anybody else. It's not going to happen. But then if you do, then you look like a dick to that girl who's just like, wait, I thought we had something. So I guess I'm saying I would never do this. Not that they would ever cast me. I'm 45 years old. I'm not quite in the demographic of that show. But I just – it's a really – I guess that's the whole point, though. They just want a bunch of drama and people hooking up and cheating on people.
They're like, that's how they'll stir up the drama. But it is so funny. And I mean, obviously this happens on The Bachelor and stuff, too. But, like, it's even more so on this show because it's only been on, like, we're in week two, I think.
Yeah.
And, you know, I guess it was Monday night's episode, not last night since I'm behind one. But Monday night's episode when they're saying, you know, why they picked the guy and why they want them to stay. And they're like... First of all, they call them boys and it creeps me out.
Yeah.
She's like, which boy do you pick? And she's like, the boy I want to stay. I don't like that. I'm like, just say guy. They launched into these monologues about like from the beginning and he's been there for me. And I'm like, that was last week.
I know. And this show
is there for you.
This show's turnaround time is like Big Brother. It's like two or three. What we're seeing is only happened 2 or 3 days ago. So they're,
there's not some secret, like they haven't, you know, been dating for a month and we're just seeing a condensed version. Like it's just, it is exactly what it is.
Yeah.
So that part's kind of entertaining. I'm like, did she just say he's been there for her from the beginning? Yeah.
No, it's entertaining. It's like, you know, it's train wreck TV. You want to see it play out. But yeah, last night's episode, which you can get caught up on tonight. Yeah, the girl that comes in really stirs it up because all the guys basically have their tongues out when she walks on set. So it's almost a free-for-all because every girl thinks they're in a solid relationship, and then this one walks in, and when she pulls each guy to talk to them aside, these guys are like, yeah, you know, I've been seeing so-and-so, but, you know, I'm open to things. Yeah, but when he's with the girl that he's supposed to be with, He's like, yeah, I talked to her. You know, it was all right. It was cool. You know, she's a nice girl.
Yeah, like, no big deal.
Yeah.
My friend did mention something about her eyeliner. So I don't know what that means yet, but I guess I'll find out when I tune in. She was like, her eyeliner is
the cat eyes, is that what it's called, where you have it, it extends out. She has that.
But, okay. But well, that's not that big of a deal.
Yeah, but she's smoking hot. She's the hottest one on the show, only if you ask me.
Yeah, I remember them showing her at the end, like just a quick clip of her at the end of Monday night, and I was like, oh, that's going to be like, she's hot. That's going to be trouble for everybody.
It's a summer show. My thing is that the ratings for it are terrible. You can't get people in America. I know it's a huge show in the UK. People in America aren't going to dedicate 5 days a week to a show for 6 weeks. It's just not, you're not going to get this giant audience for this show. And my question is, does CBS pull this before their 6 week run? Like, can they continually keep floating this show out there that's giving them 1.5 million viewers a night and a 0.3 rating? I don't get it. But, oh, someone's at the
door. It might be. Sorry about that. That's my. That's our alarm. That's like a.
Oh, that's, you know, someone at your
door alarm. Okay. No, and so my husband opened the door, so I told him not to during the podcast, but I guess he did. Sorry, but now everyone got to hear it. What was I going to say? Oh, there's nothing else really, though. Maybe to air. So maybe for them, it's like, you know. Great. Like maybe their sad number is like, well, we don't have anything else to put in this spot because of COVID. Like they don't have their series, you know, taped. They don't have.
Very true.
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess it's better than running a repeat of something. I guess that's the way they're looking at it. But yeah, the ratings aren't great.
I mean, that's to be determined, but, but I'm getting something out of it. So
yeah,
that's good.
I mean, I'm looking at it like, hey, this is, it's summer television programming and it's better than a repeat of something CBS has to offer anyway. I'll take it. I just think more, you know, like you said, more needs to happen on it. It just seems like the whole episode is just, hey, let's go talk over here. And then, and that's it. And then it's some of it's whispering, but we have to read subtitles. It's not enough.
There's a lot of whispering. They need a lot more boom operators or something running around, because I feel like we have to crank up the volume on it so much, and then a commercial comes on and I'm like, Jesus Christ. So I feel like I can't hear anything they say.
Well, we still enjoy it. Big Brother, do you have a prediction? We're still early, but who are your favorites, and do you have a prediction of who is going to win this season?
I was sad to see Janelle go.
As we all were. Yes.
Yeah. And because she and Kacer were so close, you know, I'd like to see him win, sort of like for them. But I feel like he's way too big of a target. Like they're, you know, unless he's able to get power, I don't know that he's going to make it very much longer. So I kind of think I'm going to predict Tyler.
Tyler. Interesting. He certainly can. I mean, he's in one of the power alliances. He seems to think his game got blown up by David outing him last week, but
I don't know. I think he's good at the social game and being, you know, buddies with all the guys, even though, well, maybe not David anymore, but, I feel like, I don't know. That's just gonna, I'm not saying it's a good prediction, but it's my prediction.
Yeah. I think, you know, with Kacer, with Janelle gone, it seemed like the whole house wants to target the Janelle and Kacer duo. They got Janelle out last week, seemingly. We already know that Kacer's on the block for this week. Him and Kevin are the two nominees. So we'll find out tonight who wins power veto, and possibly one of them comes off. Even though, if you read the spoilers, you know.
I was about to say I already looked.
You already looked. Okay, so we know. I mean,
I'm talking to, you know, like I obviously love spoilers, so yeah. They don't bother me at all. They actually make it more enjoyable for me. Like that's why I love. I'm like, it does not ruin anything for me to know. It just makes me more invested in the outcome in the weirdest way. I've always been that way. So
okay, so you know that Kevin won and put Christmas up in place
yes.
for himself.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Which definitely means that it looks like Kacer's gone. I just can't imagine they're going to vote Christmas out. I don't think there's any sort of blindside coming here. I don't know. Christmas didn't do anything to anybody to get voted out. And all the votes so far have been blowouts. I just don't see this being any different. This slick six seems to be running the show anyway. If all six of them go for Kacer, he's gone, you know?
Yeah, and I was actually happy when I read the spoiler to see that Kevin won the power veto, because like he had been so devastated, you know, that I was like, oh, okay, this is like a win for him. Like I was happy for him in that sense. So
yeah, and we will see it probably when this airs, which will be Thursday. I mean, probably tonight. Kacer's getting voted out, so
yeah,
be shocked.
We're not spoiling it for anyone.
Yeah, I'd be shocked if he didn't. But Sarah, so great getting caught up with you. I'm glad I can talk trash TV with you. Somebody else that I know is watching Love Island. It's great.
We're the two.
So again, thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate it. And for those
thank you for having me.
No problem. And for those that are in the Appleton, Wisconsin area, as of right now, you are set to be at the Skyline Comedy Club October 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, right? Those are the 3 dates?
Yes. Yeah. And Portland area, it's the weekend of October 22nd, that weekend. So whatever that is, the Thursday, Friday, and Saturday of that weekend. So I literally just kind of like locked it down. So the dates in my head, but they'll be up on my website by tomorrow. So
perfect.
And then keep an eye out, people. Yeah. We'll see how the rest of it goes.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, you're definitely one of the industries that has really been hit hard by COVID. I mean, you just can't, you can't perform in clubs, you know, some clubs, like you said, some clubs are at, you know, 50% capacity or whatever, but this is one of the industries that really hurts. So I'm sorry that it happened to you this way. And, you know, obviously others are affected as well. But, you know, hopefully we get through this and I can go back to a comedy club, and I can be excited to go back to a comedy club and see people at the Addison Improv, where I go 4 times a year. So
I know. I love that place.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can feel free to laugh without worrying about your droplets, you know, getting on people. Yeah. Like when we all get there. But thank you. Thanks for having me.
No, thank you for coming on. And yeah, we'll definitely be in touch, and I'll text you the comedian that I know is slipping my mind right now that I don't get.
Okay. I'm excited.
All right. Take care, Sarah.
All right. Okay. You too.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much to Sarah for coming on and doing that. If you're in the Appleton, Wisconsin area, hey, go check her out. Beginning of October, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd in Portland at the end of October. Had her on about 2 years ago, I think. Always great talking to her. And we didn't even talk football this time. Her husband is punter John Ryan, who's played for numerous NFL teams and who currently is a free agent. And we didn't even talk sports and sports with no fans and what she thinks of the NFL season. And is John going to get picked up this year? So, sorry, didn't get around to that. I did it before. The thing is, I forgot to do it because her and I talked about it before we started recording. So I felt like, oh crap, we did do this, but that's my fault. Anyway, I hope you liked it. Sarah's a really cool girl. I really like her stand up as well. And you know, I like most comedians. I keep talking about this negativity about these people I just don't get. There's very few that I'm just like, they suck, or why are they so popular? Dane Cook. But Dane's been around a while. I've never gotten the hype around Dane Cook. When he was like the number one comic out there, I didn't get it. And I still don't. I don't think he's doing as much comedy now, as much stand-up, but I never got it. Anyway. Thank you so much to Sarah for coming on. Thank you all for tuning in. Please rate, subscribe, and review in Apple Podcasts. It's much appreciated. It certainly helps with the podcast, certainly helps with advertisers, and we want to get those ratings up, as many 5-star ratings as you can. And if you are going to put a 1-star rating, like I know some of you have, actually put a legitimate reason why you think it's a 1-star rating, because I've seen some of the 1-star ratings on it, and look, I don't think everybody in the world likes me. I get it. Nobody in the world is universally liked. But when I see someone leave a 1-star rating and then a comment that doesn't even make sense, I know they're just doing it to troll and to bring my rating down. You're an asshole. Just thought I'd say that. I just think you cannot like me. I'm not saying you can't not like me, but give a legitimate reason as to why you're leaving a poor rating, as opposed to some of the stuff that I've read on there. It's kind of ridiculous, but whatever. It is something that you know, I know what happened. Everybody gets it. Like, you know, like I said, nobody's universally liked. I get it. But I can tell when someone's just trolling in the ratings section. So, but yeah, rate whatever you want. Leave a comment. Be great. Like I said, it helps the podcast. The Colton one a couple weeks ago was the number one podcast on the TV and film category. The episode was, and then my podcast that week was the number one podcast in the TV and film category. It fluctuates week by week. It's all based on downloads and stuff like that. So anyway, I really appreciate you all listening. We're coming up on, God, this December will be 4 years I've had the podcast. That is crazy to me. So we'll be back next week. Not sure who yet, but I think I know who it might be. But we'll leave it at that. So anyway, thank you all so much for tuning in. I really appreciate it. And we will talk to you next week. See you.